The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next, after having an abortion, Carol opened her first abortion clinic in Dallas in the 1970s. Her sole motivation was money.
Because simple math told me 40,000 abortions a year would make me a millionaire.
An encounter with God changed her life.
But when I got back to that abortion clinic, something had happened. Those girls were crying. They weren't excited about being there. My eyes were open, and I'd never seen all that pain before.
Today, thank you so much for joining us. I'm Betty Robinson, and this is James.
You certainly look beautiful.
Well, thank you.
Now, what color do you call this? I kind of, it's a shocking pink, or is it red? What is it?
Shocking pink.
Yeah, it's shocking.
Shocking.
I just think you look so beautiful. You know, I don't know, I think maybe you may have heard me say a few weeks ago, but Betty and I have been married now 49 years, so we're headed toward that 50th, which has got to be, you know, some kind of a special milestone, and that'll take place next year. So pray she'll stay with me at least until 50. Pray
I'm
that.
I'm going to make the 50th
yeah,
one.
I really believe our guest that we have today is a real answer to prayer. I think that many of you have been praying about the need to understand how precious life is. After all, here on Life Today, you see us reaching out to people all over the world who are in desperate need and trying to rescue them or give them life or save their life, as well as share with them the love of God. We got a real serious problem here in the United States that I think has contributed to many of the problems we face, even the economic problems, because I think we've made some errors in our judgment. I think we've made some very bad decisions. And you can read in Isaiah why prayers are not answered, and what has separated between us and our God is our sin, and listed in that is the shedding of innocent blood. And you have to ask the question, what could be more innocent than a little unborn child in the womb, which should be in the safest place? Our guest, Carol Everett, made the mistake, she says, of being persuaded to have an abortion, which then led to some other bad decisions, which then led to the decision to get into the abortion industry to make a tremendous amount of money. And her story is quite shocking. As a matter of fact, it's told in this DVD that I wish every church would get. It's called The Gift of Life. Governor Huckabee narrates it. My testimony is in the center of the story. They're hoping to get this on all the HBO and the movie channels, and I hope they can. But the churches, and you could show it to your study group, but I really would encourage you to get a copy of it, and we'll make that available to you. I want you to welcome Carol Everett, if you would, to Life Today. Carol, I'm glad to see you. I want you to tell our viewers about your journey, because you did, as you say now, you made the mistake for whatever reasons to have an abortion, then that led to other bad decisions. Just take us on that journey, would you please?
I was married for the second time, and there was an agreement before we were married that there would be no more children. So when I found myself pregnant, my choice was my husband or my baby. And I made the wrong choice. I chose my husband, and the moment I awoke from that abortion decision, my very first thought was, I'm a murderer. I've killed my baby. Now, none of us expect to be murderers. None of us ever expect to kill anything. Yet I knew in my heart that I had killed this innocent baby, something that my body was actually supposed to protect. And everyone I told, and I didn't tell, you can't tell your mother or your best friend you just killed your baby. I told my husband, he said we made the best choice we could. We needed to go on with our lives. I ventured to tell a couple of other people, and they told me it was my right to choose. And so I thought I was abnormal. There was something wrong with me. So I stuffed those feelings and tried to change everything in my life. Of course, my marriage fell apart, as most 75% of relationships that conceive a baby that is aborted do. And I found something that worked. Every time I sold another woman an abortion in some very sick, twisted way, if she was okay, just perhaps I was okay. And I started selling abortions on a daily basis. I went to work for a man that owned 4 abortion clinics. I managed 2 of them for him. I more than doubled his numbers in the one in Dallas and Fort Worth, but he wouldn't share that money with me, so I took his best abortionist that I'd recruited anyway, and we started our own clinic down near Mockingbird, on Mockingbird near Love Field in Dallas. And at first, it was, again, very much helping women to some degree, but my commission was $25 for each abortion. And my goal became to become a millionaire, because simple math told me 40,000 abortions a year would make me a millionaire. And so I went about creating the market to sell 40,000 abortions a year. We had 1 clinic open. We opened a second one. They pay for themselves the first month. Our goal was to have 5 surrounding the area. So I was out in schools and in other places doing everything I could to create that market, because our goal was 3 to 5 abortions from every girl between the ages of 13 and 18. I'm sorry to tell you, I held the hand of 1 young woman while she had her 9th abortion. There's over a 40% repeat rate of abortions today in this nation and in this state. Abortion is a method of birth control. So you find that girl as early as possible. You convince them that her parents really don't know anything about what's good for her. You break down the natural modesty, get her to laugh at her parents and their values. If she laughs with you about them, she will not go home and tell them. And then you give her low-dose birth control pills that you know she will not take accurately. And if they're not taken accurately, she'll become pregnant. Or you pass out defective or second condoms. Remember, the people that pass out those condoms don't buy the best quality. They buy seconds or defectives. And you do everything you can to make certain that you're getting the 3 to 5 abortions out of every girl.
Now, what do you think Planned Parenthood representatives would say to the things you just said?
They would just say that I'm absolutely crazy, and that these children should be, they're going to have sex, so they need to be taught how to have safer sex. And when you hear someone say that now, you can just say baloney. We don't take kids out and get them really good and drunk and try to teach them how to drive safely drunk. We give them a moral absolute, don't drink and drive. Why would we give this child a low moral standard to live down to rather than the very highest and best God's plan, abstinence until marriage, which works every time?
What changed you? What you set up to be, you ran the numbers. I can be a millionaire. I can make so much money a year. You said you went into schools and actually talked to girls, in a way, recommending abortion. Which is, I guess you were thinking, is liberating to them to think, well, we can do what we want to do. And if we do get pregnant, then we know what we're going to do, which is saying to the boy, you're safe too, and to the girl, go ahead. So you were actually feeding the whole mechanism of pregnancies. And then you're saying that you passed out even defective products. Now, if I understand your story, you even actually knew of clinics, and perhaps yours, where you actually charged for and performed abortions on girls that were not pregnant, and you knew they weren't.
Well, that was actually part of the answer to my prayer and part of the reason I'm here today. And we knew we were doing abortions on women that weren't pregnant. I didn't take responsibility for that. I said it was the doctor's fault. He knew what was happening, and it was his, but I knew it was happening, so I had a responsibility. And, you know, 1 out of every 500 of those women were having a hysterectomy, colostomy, major life-changing surgery. 1 woman died. We got her out of the clinic before she died, so we could always say we'd had another death there. And I want you to know, I was struggling. I was struggling with what was happening. I was telling myself I was helping women, yet I was putting a woman in my car and taking her across town, because an ambulance is terrible advertisement in front of an abortion clinic. And I was taking her across town to a hospital that would protect us and the doctor. And we were really trying to solve our problems so we could expand. And with that in mind, we called in a man who was introduced to us as a business counselor. And he said he could solve our internal problems by meeting with us 1 hour a week for 4 weeks. And I said, oh, great, isn't that wonderful? I'll be a millionaire next year. I don't care how much he charges. But he was a strange man. He wouldn't talk about money. He didn't do drugs. He didn't run around on his wife. He didn't drink. I didn't understand this man. And the second time I met with him, I don't know why till this day, but I finally looked him in the eye and said, are you a preacher? He said, yes. And I said, what in the world are you doing here? And he said, God sent me. And I thought that man was crazy. I told him quickly, I had a Bible in the top right-hand drawer of my desk. I wanted him to know I prayed every day. I didn't tell him. I wasn't completely honest. I didn't tell him I prayed none of those women would die, and I prayed there'd be a lot of abortions today, but I told him I prayed. But when I told that man that I tithed on all that money, and he was not remotely impressed, I had a sick feeling in the pit of my stomach that I was in trouble. And he said, Carol, my deacons and I have been praying for some time. We believe there's someone inside this abortion clinic that God wants out. He said, we are going to be leaving in 30 days. And quite honestly, I'd picked out the person I wanted him to take with him when he left. But he didn't stop there. He said, Carol, God loves you. He knows you can't be good enough. You can't work hard enough. You can't buy your way to heaven. But because he loves you so much, he made a way of escape for you by sending Jesus Christ, his son, to walk the face of the earth, to live that sin-free life, and to die on the cross is a perfect sacrifice for your sins. And by this simple act of faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, your life can change. And then he said, I wouldn't be much of a salesman if I didn't ask you to pray that prayer and ask Jesus Christ to come in your life. Well, I've been a deal maker all my life, and that deal was so simple. Pray that prayer, shut that man up. But he's the king of the weird prayer. And he said, I'll pray this and you pray it after me. And it was, Dear God, I am a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for my sins. Reign on the throne of my heart as Lord and Savior. Make me a worker in your vineyard. Amen. I got up. I shook his hand. I laughed. I got in the car and I started laughing. Now, does this crazy man think I'm going to leave all this money and go to California to work in a vineyard? Not me. Not me. But when I got back to that abortion clinic, something had happened. Those girls were crying. They weren't excited about being there. My eyes were open, and I'd never seen all that pain before. And I started taking them into my office. Now, you've got to remember, I was the hammer. If they couldn't get one across the line, they'd bring her to me, and I'd sell her the abortion, and I'd get her in. But I started saying, no, your parents will not kill you. Your parents love you. They're going to be disappointed, but they'll stand by you. And I started saying, could I go home with you and help you talk to your parents? At the end of that day, I was confused. I was not saying, isn't this great? I saved three babies today. I was saying I lost $75. Money, money, money. And I don't know why, but I went to the abortionist's office and fell to my knees and prayed, Lord, if there is a Lord, if this is not where you want me, hit me over the head with a 2x4. And the 2x4 was that we were caught attempting to do abortions on women that were not pregnant. By at that time, the Channel 4 affiliate in the Dallas-Fort Worth area sent their reporters to the doctor to be certain they weren't pregnant. Wired them for sound, sent them in our abortion clinic. Caught us red-handed 27 days after that pastor said someone would be leaving in 30.
Wow.
And all I knew was it was me. That's all I knew. Nothing beyond that.
Whew. So, your goals now?
To save far more babies than I was ever part of taking the lives of. And to help those who are hurting from abortion to know that there is freedom in Christ, that He is the true freedom. To help those women who are considering abortion know that that baby is alive and God has a plan for that baby's life and for her life, and He has a way of escape for her. And I would love for the world to know that abortion is wrong and that, you know, we worry about dogs and cats. Whales, why don't we worry about those little babies? Why don't we worry about those babies?
Oh, I can't tell you how much I want us to. I'm considered a pretty strong guy, pretty forthright, pretty bold. I haven't had a lot of people call me a sissy. I wouldn't suggest you try to be the first one. But I don't even have the ability to tell you how my heart breaks. Because I see how indescribably precious and valuable. I guess if I just read the Bible and saw how valuable we are to God, that He would give His only Son to die so we can be forgiven and live. And then he would raise his son to live in us, to enable us to deal with all the challenges and problems and failures, shortcomings, sin, that he loves us like that. How would we question the value of any person? I just see life as so precious. So, Carol, you know, I really wanted you to come and share. I heard your story in The Gift of Life. I wish every church would play this. I beg you to. Play it to the whole congregation. Real important. We'll send you a copy of it. Citizens United are just caring people. And we'll send it to you if you just help us save some lives of some little children that are in need, and I'll show you what you can do. But I saw your story, and I wanted you to come and tell. It's hard to believe people just make it into a money-making machine, but it's happening. We're not trying to make anybody feel bad. This preacher loved you. God convicted you. And I just pray that for everybody. Father, I pray that for people who've had abortions, considering an abortion, who work in the clinics. Lord God, we need an awakening in our nation. We need a spiritual awakening. Lord, we need more than some election. We need to make a lot of correction nationally. But Lord, we need our hearts changed. America needs a heart change. We need transformed people, to transform the culture and everything around us. So we're asking for that. But start it with some who are watching today. In Jesus' name. Carol, I want to thank you. And I want to say to some of you, God's speaking to you about what's going on in your life or your body or the practices, decisions you're making, or maybe where you work. It'd be one, all the abortion clinics would close if nobody'd go. All of them would close if the doctors just say, I won't do one anymore. And the practitioners would say, we're not doing it. You're not really doing a service. You're doing a disservice, however sincere you are. Don't get angry with me. I just love life. I love your life. I want to say thanks to Carol. Would you say thanks to Carol for her openness and sharing her story? I want you to look in on something. You know, we got a text message from the person you're about to see. It said that we're in the Sudan and we're trying to feed children, and there are two dying a day trying to get to the lines. I want you to listen to what she actually went through in the Sudan. And really, really, I want you to kind of move in and just say, God, let me identify with you. Not only with this mission team member, Janice, but let me identify with you. Watch close.
My name is Janice. I've been a photographer with the Life Outreach Mission Team for over 20 years. I've traveled all over the world trying to help children in need. Even though my heart is broken each trip by the amount of pain and suffering I've witnessed, I wasn't prepared for what I saw on our latest trip to South Sudan. This boy's name is Lazarus. His Christian mother gave him this name, and it's very fitting because Lazarus needs a miracle.
He wanted to see his picture a minute ago. I was scared to even show it to him because I don't know if he understands what he looks like. And I showed him, and the man said, he's saying, who is that? Who is that? Can't even recognize himself. Like this all over Sudan. We need to help them get a brand new start. We need to help them grow and be children and have fun. All it takes is food. Food. It's so simple. Jesus, give him a miracle. Give this baby a miracle.
I think God does what we can't do. I'm so glad I work with people who love people like Janice does, and I could die giving my life over there in the midst of all those kids and suffering. And the missionaries told me to go back home, go back to the States and get help so they could do what God called them to do. And we've been doing our best to do it. And you've been such an encouragement to us all over the world. You've helped us do it. Don't stop. In economic challenging times, I'm praying God let us do even more. 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 Because you do it. Lazarus, I want Lazarus to have a miracle. I want Lazarus to have a miracle like little baby Matthew had when Beth Moore was praying over a little boy. They said, we'll die tonight. Tonight. And then Beth Moore went back and played kickball, soccer with that little guy. Little Matthew, a miracle. Oh, we need it for Lazarus, Betty. Our mission team is, they got that kind of heart, but our viewers are the key to being able to give Lazarus a miracle and the mother the miracle that she wants to see.
You know, it's very fitting. We should be weeping just as we watch Janice weep, because you feel helpless unless you know that you can help. We're letting you know that you can help. You can reach out to these little children like Lazarus. There's so many more of them, with caring and loving and giving them the food they need. We can turn a tragedy into a triumph. We can help these children simply by getting the food to them.
I'm asking you to go to the phone right now or go online, lifetoday.org, and just make the largest gift you can. Like the missionary said, the situations in some places, and by the way, there's some real miracles going on in the Sudan. That's where a lot of that suffering is now, is a part that's broken away from the radical Muslim government in the southern Sudan now, that basically their experience is a newfound freedom, but they've really had hardship pushed on them. They've been persecuted terribly, terribly. And the only hope they've got, and they are, so many of them are Christians, and the only hope they've got are people who love God helping them. And I'm asking you to dial the number. If you can help us take care of 100 kids, give $1,000. Do it. Would you do that? Give several thousand. $100 will enable us to take care of 10 children for the next months. For $50, we can take care of five. For $30, we can take care of three. And by the way, $30 to you might be as big as $1,000 to somebody. So don't think, well, that's not much. That my little, your $30, that widow's mite may be the biggest gift that comes in today. But it's real big to those three children. So I want you to call. And if you get a busy, I pray so many people are called that you may have to just say, I'm going to be persistent, and I will get through because I'm going to give that little Lazarus his miracle. And we've already set things in motion. We want to keep up with him. I want to be able to come back with a good report. I want you to be a part of it. But listen, like Janice said, there's thousands of kids like that. Little Lazarus represents one. One of them that we at least got to be able to put in a bed. Would you dial the number? We have some gifts to send you to bless your children and to bless you because we love you. We want to bless you. I don't know a single one of you that ever give because we're going to give you something. I don't know one of you that would do that. We give to you because we love you. But we're asking you, please make the biggest gift you can right now and help us save the lives of these children.
At this very moment, a child is drawing his last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Sadly, this impoverished child is not alone, and without our help, many like him face death as well. Today, you can make a difference and help save a life. In addition to the 400,000 children already in Life's Mission Feeding Program, our teams have found a region in South Sudan with another 20,000 children in need of immediate life-saving assistance. Our mission teams are in place, but we desperately need your help to replenish critically needed food supplies immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll rush you the Jesus Storybook Bible. This beautifully illustrated book will help your children discover for themselves that Jesus is at the center of God's great story of salvation and at the center of their lives, too. With your gift of $100 or more to help feed 10 children, you may request our new International Version and New King James Side-by-Side Bible with a 2-column format for easy comparison. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and save the lives of 100 children. And you may also request the Lion and the Lamb bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online right now.
You know, these children should be running around, playing, having fun. But that has been robbed from them because they are without food, they are without hope, they are struggling. And I ask if you can help us to give these children hope by giving them a bowl of food a day. It's amazing how that bowl of food every day adds hope to a child and changes their situation. We can make the difference. We can give them hope. We can give them a bowl of food. We need your help, and we need it now.
I'm believing God for the resurrection of Lazarus and a whole lot more. And I want to thank you for making that possible. The Gift of Life, if you'd like to have this DVD, we'll send it to you. That does have my story in it. Governor Huckabee does a great job. Carol's story's in it. The Children's Jesus Storybook Bible, powerful. The Parallel Bible with the NIV and the New King James. And, of course, the Lion and the Lamb bronze that we send. Just say thank you for making a real, especially a beautiful art piece. Carol, I thank you. Carol's going to come back and be with us again in another program. Would you just join me? And Betty said, thank you, Carol. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Of living, I just never have had a meaningful dream. And most of the time he goes, you know what? Some people are safer with the word on the page. And so
Beth Moore tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.